Hey guys, the Walking Closer podcast is back at it again. Yes, here we are. It's been over a year since our last episode, which was uploaded on June 1st of 2021, and now we are in July of 2022. So, what happened? Where have I been? What's going on? Well, a lot has happened since then. And I have to say, I never planned on taking this long of a break. And I kept thinking I was going to be able to get back to this because this is something I enjoy doing. It's an outlet. It allows me to think through things and work on articulating these ideas and my own experiences. I get to share them, right? It allows me to share things I believe I'm called to share. It's what I do. And not only this podcast, but, you know, one-on-one with people on an almost daily basis in various spaces, okay? So why the long break? Well, all I can say is there were some changes that were happening in my work, adding staff, beginning to move things in a different direction. It was taking up a lot of my time. My plate was all of a sudden just filled with all these things that needed my attention, and I had to remove some of those things, which I did, but I never intended this to be one of them. It just became one of them. So I was constantly looking for opportunities to try to get back into this, and it just never seemed like the right time, and I didn't want to force this. You know what I mean? I didn't want this to become another burden. This is life-giving for me. It's another platform. It's an avenue. It's an outlet for me. And I didn't want to abuse it. I didn't want to belittle it. I just knew that I needed to wait for the right time. And so, yeah. With all that being said, as I've jumped back into this, I'm also beginning to see how this break, to me, it seems like divine intervention. See, during this time away, my eyes have really been open to many, many, many more things that God has been doing in my life. It's like this time away has been preparing me for this next season. Like my eyes and ears were being cultivated to see and hear. So much so, okay, that when I saw it was time to pick this podcast back up again, I decided to just pick back up where I left off, which absolutely makes no sense, right? Like, I mean, I left in the middle of sharing with you some of the things from Dallas Willard's book, The Divine Conspiracy, okay? It would seem absurd to just pick it all back up after over a year because, well, people aren't listening anymore like they used to because I haven't been consistent with things. And if they were in the middle of reading the book or considering it, I kind of left everybody hanging. So why not just start with something fresh, right? If you start at all. Well, as I begin to jump back into things, I returned to the place I left off. And when I did, the things Willard said, the things I was reading, began to hit me over and over again. I kept recalling over the past year how these ideas were a part of the things that I was learning, the things that my eyes had been open to, the messages that I was receiving. And now as I was reading this, it was like putting on clothes that were nicely and exactly tailored to you, right? It is a good, comfortable fit, and it just feels right. And so as I was reading, I could see how the last year really has prepared me to read and receive what is being said. And, you know, the thing is, this isn't the first time I've ever read The Divine Conspiracy. Like, I've read it before, and I mean, I use it as a reference. I am very familiar even with Willard's teachings and writings, but this, returning to this at this time just seems like, I don't know, it seems like divine intervention to me. It's the right time, so it just feels right. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to just pick up with where we left off. As odd and as much as that seems to go against the grain of convention, that's what we're going to do. So let's do that, okay? In the last episode, we covered I believe it was chapter 5, 6, and part of 7, which basically are chapters in the Divine Conspiracy that deal with the Sermon on the Mount. And instead of going into all the details of what Willard said, he goes into a tremendous amount of detail. I basically summarize what I took away from it all. It's like the bigger picture that these chapters help me see. In my basic recap, was the fact that in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is illustrating what it looks like to live from a place of love. I mean, the things that Jesus talked about were natural expressions of that love. And this is what being a disciple or an apprentice of Jesus can lead to. It can lead to a life that is built on a solid foundation, a life that is based on how things have been designed to function, right? Like the wise man who built his house on a rock, which is how the Sermon on the Mount, or what we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount, closes out, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and following. It's a life that is based on how things have been designed to function, okay? Like a wise man, which is what makes that the perfect metaphor, who builds his house on a rock, as opposed to the foolish man foolishly building on sand or living a life that is not based on how things have been designed to function, which can ultimately feel like life is being pulled up from underneath you. See, that's why that metaphor is just perfect. It's a perfect metaphor. So ultimately, instead of just trying to, you know, do the right thing, which is typically how we approach the Sermon on the Mount, and understand what I mean by that is, like, I get the reality of sometimes what we do is we just do the next right thing. I grasp that. But oftentimes when we look at the Sermon on the Mount and the teachings that Jesus presents there, we're looking for what we're supposed to do and only what we're supposed to do. But we need to dive in deeper, go beyond that. Jesus was not just about what's on the surface. He was getting to the root of the issue. And so I say, instead of just trying to do the right thing, how about becoming the kind of person that would naturally do the right thing, a person who is truly, right, living from a place of love, in a state of love. So in order for this to happen, we must be people who have been transformed in the depths of who we are, which includes our thoughts and our feelings and our desires and our perspectives, which is essentially, right, what the Walking Closer podcast is all about. I mean, it is the driving force behind why I do what I do. And then, you know, learning to live in a state called love is how we become the kinds of people who are genuinely at home in God's world. I absolutely love that phrase. That's how Willard says it in this particular chapter 7 of the Divine Conspiracy. Notice what he says. Becoming the kinds of people who are genuinely at home in God's world. Okay? I know it's going to be important here for us to begin to define some terms here, because when we hear that, I think oftentimes, from the Christian perspective, we consider the world, we think about the world, and we think about how screwed up it is and how we're just waiting to, you know, exit stage left, right? We're waiting for it to be done to get out of here. That's from centuries and centuries and centuries of formation, of looking at things and interpreting things from a specific perspective. And I think it's twisted, quite honestly. I wholeheartedly agree with what Dallas says here because of what I see in Jesus, especially on the Sermon on the Mount. Becoming the kinds of people who are genuinely at home in God's world, okay? Understand this. Part of being at home in God's world is recognizing that in Him we live and move about and exist. When Paul says that in the book of Acts, he is not talking to Christians. He's not talking to apprentices of Jesus. He's talking to people from all over the place in Athens who had all sorts of ideas about what's behind all of this and about the gods and the supernatural and what's life all about. Philosophers, okay, from all sorts of different ways of thinking. And he says, everyone, right? We all live in Him and move about and exist. So what that means is that there's never, ever been a single person who has ever existed that has not existed in that reality. In Him we live and move about and exist, okay? The question is, were their eyes open to the reality of how God was already there, sustains our very existence, okay? That's the question. So the reason why Jesus said things like, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Having eyes to see but cannot see, right? It's all about cultivating ears and eyes to see and hear. And a big part of that is it's about having our eyes open to the reality of God's existence here with us, okay? Now, it's also helpful if we talk a little bit about the term world, right, and defining the use of the term world, especially in the Christian context. In the Christian context, we typically define the world, or we have, okay, if we're not careful, the way that we're teaching things, which is quite honestly a reason why I interpreted and learned what I learned, my perspective that I had of the world for so long, was that it is just simply evil and broken, and there was nothing good about it, and so it was all about separating myself from the world. And when I did that, I was not enjoying life, okay? I was so separated and so isolated from the world, I was literally isolating myself from life, okay? Understand how the term world is being used here, okay? It's not in the specific sense in which we think world. We're talking about systems. We're talking about ways of doing things. We're talking about elements of culture that are not reflective of the heart of God, right? And living according to them does not help us reflect being made in God's image, okay? So what Jesus does is Jesus helps us learn how to realign our hearts and our lives with the heart of God and live as those made in his image. And we do it in this life, okay? In this world, okay? It's all about becoming comfortable with living in God's world in this moment. This is where we pick back up in chapter 7 of The Divine Conspiracy. But first, it's time. After one long year away, once again, the intro to the Walking Closer podcast. We're all formed by our life experiences, but sometimes these experiences shape us in negative ways. And the process of spiritual transformation can help undo those negative impacts so we can live life to the fullest. And Walking Closer is all about this journey through internal transformation where real changes happen from the inside out. It is so good to be able to play that once again. And yes, I did play it. I listened to it. I literally stopped the recording and I listened to it. Man, I can't tell you how excited I am about jumping back into this. It just feels so good. So let's jump in. When Jesus talks about things during the Sermon on the Mount, I think it's safe to say that Jesus assumed that his disciples are his apprentices, okay? I'm really preferring the word apprentices now. They were going to be dealing with these things, finding themselves in these circumstances. It seemed like Jesus assumed, right, that these are situations that they were potentially going to find themselves in. And if you pay attention to what he talks about, what you will notice is Jesus talks more about living in the present moment than he does about waiting on something to happen in the future. Now, I don't think Jesus assumed his disciples were going to be waiting around for some future event to take place. They were going to be living into their present moment, learning what it means to be truly human, made in God's image, and a reflection of that image. That's what it means to be an apprentice of Jesus. Becoming more and more aware of how God is already there and having their eyes and ears open to how they get to participate in what God was doing. Now, in chapter 7 of The Divine Conspiracy, Willard draws our attention to how we often try and manage or control other people, right, who are mainly in our spheres of influence. These are situations that we are going to commonly find ourselves in. And Willard draws our attention to the reality of how we approach those things. We approach people that we disagree with, people in our spheres of influence who we perceive have a problem, and we have a solution, okay? But honestly, I think this is what we are seeing as a whole in our society right now. It's not just in our spheres of influence. it's at least in part why we see people struggling so much with opposing views and what is referred to as cancel culture now. There's a whole lot of blaming and condemning and trying to force upon others solutions to problems, right, and beliefs. Willard shows how this approach is basically a dead end to any real change, and how it's through the simple request that we can effectively and graciously care and help people. He says it's about drawing people into the kingdom rather than into the web of devices and plans we might have for them. It's not about condemning or blaming others, but about becoming the kinds of people who truly don't look down upon others and attack others, worth as human beings. And it's love that makes this possible. Now, unfortunately, it's not the norm, right? There's a reason why if someone disagrees with someone, it's taken extremely personally. It's like rejection, condemnation, right? When we receive disagreements or disapproval from other people in this way, it's more reflective, though, of how we think than anything else. So one of the things it reflects is how we identify ourselves and others by actions. While acts, right, the things we do are reflective or indicators of some things, they're not definers. But that's not how we think, which is why we think the right course of action is to focus on behaviors or actions by controlling or manipulating other people, right? It's why it's really what's behind sin management. But that's not what Jesus is talking about at all. And that's not the focus of the Gospels at all. And all this takes us to what Jesus says concerning the whole casting pearls before swine. Like Dallas actually addresses this and how this saying is not about accounting for people's worthiness, okay? That's not what's in question here. What's in question here is the actual approach. The approach is like throwing pearls before swine. Pearls are of no value to swine. And pushing pearls, as Dallas says it, is like a metaphor for pushing the things of God upon others, whether they want them or are ready for them or not. And on top of that, when we consider what comes with this approach, there's a certain sense of superiority that oftentimes blinds us from actually hearing and seeing where those we are trying to help really are, right? And what they really need and how we can possibly help at all. And while there are a lot of factors that are behind why we approach things and what's valuable and what's needed, the reality is this: a superior attitude or condemnation is not going to help, regardless of our approach and the means we try and use. And Willard says, as long as we are condemning or pushing our pearls on people, we are their problem, right? They now have to respond to us. And that usually leads to them doing the same things to us, right? Judging, etc. It's why Jesus said, do not do that, right? Because when you do that, you are inviting people to do the same thing to you. However, if we step back, maintain a sensitive and non-manipulative presence, we are no longer the problem. As we assume a posture of listening, right, we are now inviting others to open up and not have to feel defensive of themselves. And this is where we are then invited to stop and consider, right, our approach to others we disagree with or perceive have a problem that we want to help fix. Our approach says a lot about how we see people. And it also says a lot about how we see God. We cannot have one posture towards God and a different one towards other people. The biblical text gives us example after example of how this is the reality. And so when you consider a better approach to people in your sphere of influence, Willard invites us to take cues from how we approach God, and he uses prayer, or the request, as he says it, to show this. And so when you consider your approach to God and how you ask or make a request, it's the same approach that we should adopt with people. We just simply ask, right? This is how relationships work. So then Willard goes on to make several observations that show the similarities of both, as he further makes this point. But the larger point is that while we can ask certain things of people, at the end of the day, the posture we take is extremely important. And a humble, loving posture is one who prays for them, like Jesus did with Peter, right? Jesus, in Luke 22, Jesus doesn't force anything on Peter. He doesn't condemn him or shame him. He simply made a request that Peter's faith would not die. And that's the cue for us, right? That's should be, right, the model for our own approach. And then just like in relationships, we stay with an issue until it's resolved, right, one way or another. We can't let that go, right? We keep going at it. Will it shows in prayer, waiting for God to move, right? Being patient, being persistent, not leaping ahead, and taking things into our own hands. That is the right approach, right? Our expectations of prayer should line up with expectations, or the reality, if you will, of what happens in relationships. And so Willard single-handedly addresses our approach to people and our approach to prayer, which, right, leads into the Lord's Prayer. Here's the thing. The kind of prayer at the root of what Willard is talking about is the kind of relationship that God desires, that Jesus says is possible. Like in John 14:23, he says, we, right, in this invitation we have into this mutual indwelling relationship, we love God, he loves us, he will come to us and make our home with us, right? This is a personal and intimate relationship that's the one that's spoken about in Numbers 12:7-8, where God said to concerning Moses, look, I speak mouth to mouth to this guy, openly, not in dark places or in obscure ways, right? That's the kind of relationship that we're being invited to, and it's the kind of relationship that we take our cues for our relationships with other people. So this is the kind of mutual indwelling relationship that Jesus invites us into. It's the kind of relationship he was saying was available to everyone in the Sermon on the Mount. It was about what was available to them, having their eyes open to the reality that this is for you, what was possible, and how it was way more than they had maybe been led to believe. And then Dallas turns his attention to what he calls the grandest prayer of all, most commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer, right? And Willard breaks it down, and it's one of the many parts of this book which could be produced on its own and be extremely useful. It's one of these sections that you could spend some sweet time in orienting yourself to the reality of the presence of God with you by just sitting in it, marinating in it, thinking on it. And this is one of those things where Willard is able to use language that is inviting, it's guiding, and it facilitates the thoughts in the mind that help reorient our hearts. At least that's my experience with it. And again, this is what the Walking Closer podcast is all about. And we are back. So in the next episode, we're going to, at the very least, cover some specific things that I took away from chapter 8. We're going to finish the review of this book, and I have some plans for things in the future that I hope will be helpful and beneficial in sharing all these things that I believe that I have been called to share. So, may you be freed from trying to manage or control others around you. May you be freed from condemning and blaming others. And may you be empowered to be sensitive to how you might partner with God in their lives.